What's up, y'all? Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing, man? What's going on, y'all? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to SW Live Wednesday. It is June 7th. It's my little sister's birthday, so y'all know I know what the day is. But welcome, y'all. Welcome. Welcome to a whole new episode of SW Live. So, just want to let y'all know that we are here for a brand new episode, but we're doing a whole new thing. Instead of, I used to do Wednesdays. I used to do a Wednesday show where it was pretty much just talk about, just, you know, have topics that came to fruition within the past week or whatever. So now I decided to do the same thing with that, but make it a little bit more strategic. So what we're doing with it now is calling it Around the World Black. So, you know, when I want to throw in shows that I want to talk about a mixture of different topics, this is when I'll do that. So this is what I'm doing right now. I just want to let y'all know we are here. And we're going to be doing things like this to kind of like update us on things that have happened during the weeks, within the last couple of weeks. It doesn't have to be just completely new news, but it does have to be something that's relevant to what is happening in our culture, you know, because that's regular stuff. So, but welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to the show. We're going to go ahead and get started with our quote of the day. Yes. All right. So the quote is, you can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has freedom. And of course, that's Brother Malcolm X, y'all. So the quote, it's really hard to separate the two. Simple as that. Like, it may be a little bit easier today on a more financial level to say you're more free. But freedom doesn't just form within finances. Freedom also is a mind, something that goes on in your mind as well. It does have many, many different sides to it. So when so that's why the comment in the post is, I mean, the quote is so prevalent because relevant, because you can't separate peace from freedom. You can't really feel like you are a free person if you are not at peace. Peace garners freedom. It's one and the same. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you can just decide, oh, I'm going to wake up today, and if I'm locked up, and I'm just saying, I'm going to wake up today and just decide that I'm going to walk completely out these gates and just go do something different. It's not a choice. That physical freedom can then become a mental free. That physical lack of freedom could then become a mental lack of freedom as well. So your peace and your center of things has to dwell within each other. Now, you can also be in that same place and have a sense of freedom mentally, even though you don't have it physically. There's a chance that can happen. And one and the same, because of the simple fact that you know that you are physically in chains, but you know that your mental can still allow you to have that good mental balance. You have that, your intelligence is still being precedent, your attributes to your continuing to keep you informed is still present. You, as long as the things that are supposed to keep you at a height, it's still happening. Sometimes physical freedom isn't going to be something that holds you back. So you can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. Boom. That's, you know what I'm saying? And Brother Malcolm ain't lying about that. You can't separate peace from freedom. So that quote is definitely relevant. So that's our quote of the day. I just wanted to make sure you all knew that it's in order to even have these things that are happening on today's show, the things that we are going to be discussing on today's show, in order for any of those things to be allowed, it's because people have freedom, but some of them are mentally locked away because of some of the decisions that they make. So we kind of, you know what I'm saying? We got to work hand in hand with our peace and our freedom. We got to maintain both of them if we want to still have a staple in what we're trying to do in our day-to-day lives. And that's with our legacies. That's within our day-to-day journeys. That's within even trying to have your financial stability. You still have to make sure that your mind and your freedom have the same, are on the same journey. You definitely got to do that. So, all right. So we're going to go ahead and get past the quote and get back to what the day shows are about. So around the world, Black. When I first heard about this story, I will say that it really broke my heart because I couldn't believe that somebody could actually be this dangerous to their children. But we do know people are like that. We do know that people literally are abusive and they dangerous with their children. They're dangerous people with little people. We don't know how they are with people that are bigger than little people, but with little people, they're bullies. And as a parent, myself, this kind of like really broke me hearing about this. And but it says, so the story is about this young 6-year-old baby. Her name is Jalea Eason. And her mother faces charges of the death of the 6-year-old girl. And facing charges over the surviving children. So, Ms. Jalea Green, y'all say her name. She 6-year-old baby. Eason, not Green. I'm sorry. Jalea Eason. I don't know why I keep calling that baby last name Green. No way I thought I saw that at. But so she has passed away. The story is the mother of a 6-year-old girl who died Friday after the police found her bruised and unconscious in a Bronx apartment has been charged with endangering the welfare of her 2 surviving children, the police said Sunday. Lania Eason, 26, has not been charged in the death of Jalea Eason, but this was May 28th. This is before now. She has now been charged with the murder of the baby, and she is on house arrest, like with the little ankle monitor thing around her. She's been charged. She had not been charged at the time of death at that time, but they found unresponsive and with bruises on her wrists and torso. But her other 2 children, 8-year-old boy and a 3-year-old girl, were removed from the house, according to a law enforcement official. Ms. Eason has been charged with 2 counts of child endangerment. So the cause of the baby's death has not yet been determined, but a spokesperson for the medical office said Sunday that shortly before 4 a.m. on Friday, the police officers responded to a 911 call about an unconscious child. So when the officers arrived at the apartment, they found Ms. Eason performing CPR on Jalea, according to the officials. Emergency responders took the girl to New York City Health and Hospice, Lincoln, where she was pronounced dead. She lost custody of the other 2 children that day because they were living in filth and just disgust and all of that. So first of all, it's been floating around a video of the little baby on her birthday, and she was looking so scared when her mother was like, you know, it's your birthday, girl, you know, like different things like that. She was terrified. You could tell the baby was shaking, and she caught the little girl weird, why was she acting weird? And the little baby she had shudders in her voice, for on her birthday, you couldn't even tell that there was like no joy or happiness there. She seemed scared. So this mother was, she's abusing all of her children. Definitely, because they were talking about the fact that they were getting beat. And so it was, it's, she's been doing this. It's not something that's brand new. But where do we as a society just decide that? When did we as a society just decide that it's no longer our business to step in when kids are being harmed? Like, where the code at? Like, that's crazy as fuck. I was sitting there looking at reading that story and just went into rapid tears because I couldn't even imagine beating my child into her torso bruised and body bruised up. And you got to be a sick human to decide to beat on somebody that little. And knowing that you're not going to get no response back from them, because what can they do to you? What can they do to you? So somebody, I guess someone ended up calling the police after they didn't hear the baby moving anymore. I think they heard the thump or something, and that's what alerted them to call the authorities. It's been abuse going on in the apartment. Nobody was reporting none of that shit. The daddy was trying to get custody of the baby because he knew that the child was being abused. He couldn't get custody of the child. The system is broken. So this is why it's so important to know who you're having kids from. One, you got to be careful with who you just land up having babies with. A pretty face ain't always a good mother. A big penis ain't always a good father. You're going to have to decide other reasons to choose people to be your baby parents. Like, dead serious. Y'all be playing right around out here, and then we be wondering why kids being driven down streets, getting shot in cars because these people, they autistic or they got ADHD and they ain't taking their meds and they ain't telling nobody. They don't even let people know that they off their meds. Do your research before you let people come inside of you. Do your research before you start coming inside of them. You got to be more vigilant in who you choose. Because this baby, the daddy fighting for her, but the court system so rigged up and broke that they ain't going to even give him rights to the baby. But they going there to go help the baby. And they see that everybody in the house living in filth. The system broke. Next portion of the story. They arrested the lady who killed Miss Ajike Owens. Definitely, they were. So they, it's terrible out here, if we really being honest. So they finally arrested her. So the Stand Your Ground law went out the window for her because the history of her and the mother that she killed in front of her children. This is the mother right here. Yeah. This is the mother. Yeah. Murdered right in front of her babies. So after Ajike Owens was shot fatally in Ocala, Florida, by Susan Louise Lawrence, who was 58 years old, y'all. She was charged with manslaughter with a firearm, culpable negligence, battery, and two counts of assault in connection to the shooting death of AJ Owens, according to the Marion County Sheriff's Office. She was accused of shooting from behind her closed front door, striking Owens, who stood outside with her 10-year-old son standing beside her. Owens was confronting Lawrence about allegedly throwing items at her children and yelling racial slurs at them. Shortly after, officers responded to a possible trespassing call and found Owens suffering from the gunshot wound and performed to try and save her life. She died moments later. She died moments later, y'all. This lady killed that woman in front of her damn babies. You know what I'm saying? And they initially did not arrest her. Think, you know, because in Florida is a stand your ground law. So she was on her porch. So she felt like, hey, I got a right to kill you because you're threatening me. According to the sheriff's office, Lorenz told investigators that she and Owens had a past history of animosity and claimed that Owens previously attacked her. She said that she acted in self-defense and shooting Owens. And that Owens had been trying to break down her door prior to her discharging her firearm. Boy, Florida. Initially, Sheriff Billy Woods reluctant to make an arrest because it was speculated that Lorenz could have been protected under the Stand Your Ground law. However, the Major Crimes Unit found through interviews and surveillance footage that Lorenz initiated the conflict after she grew increasingly angry at Owens' children who were playing in a field nearby. You mad at kids. You mad at kids. Because they playing outside being kids. It is crazy, D. But you mad at kids because they playing outside. And instead of you just closing your damn door and going in there and acting like a 58-year-old woman and sipping some tea and sitting in front of your television and watching a movie and chilling and enjoying your old life, you decided to go outside and provoke children. You took an iPad. She came to approach you about it. It's just so much going on with this situation. God bless this woman. Family, because she's no longer with us, but God bless this woman's family, especially her children, because this was brutal murder is what it was. Brutal murder. So yeah, that's crazy. But they did arrest her and charge her with manslaughter. So I guess we should be thankful for that, but we should be thankful even though these kids no longer have a mother. For something stupid. I hope she go to jail. And being that they saying that she had no right to actually do it, it wasn't even a stand your ground situation. I hope she really get her charges so she can see how it feel to be beat on and abused in the system. I don't care nothing about her. Next portion on As the World Around the World Black. As the title and topic up there, Around the World Black. The Verdict Watch. Former FSU NFL player Travis Rudolph was found not guilty of murder and attempted murder. Awesome. Fucking A. I hate that somebody ended up dead in this situation. I hate that we are so against each other that things always have to go into some type of fatal situations. I hate that we are not above sitting and talking and trying to figure this out. I hate all of that. But what I do despise even more than the fact that we have become a society of Black killers amongst each other, because we don't be harming nobody else in this world, but amongst each other, we are fatal toward each other. I hate that. But what I do despise more than that is the fact that it's so much promotion of negativity from our Black women to urge our Black men to do dumbass shit. That bothers my spirit to the fullest, because a Black man who really loves a Black woman is going to do whatever she wants him to do to, if she feels like she's not being protected. She's going to stir up confusion to get what she wants. She's going to make it sound bigger than what it is to get what she wants. That lady sat on that stand with no remorse in her heart about that young man that she got murdered. Because she got him murdered. She should be charged with his murder. She should most certainly be charged with his murder. There's no way that Travis Rudolph should have even been up there on that stand having any implications toward him But I know why they're saying this, because he fired and did something, like went had the opportunity to run in the house and get a weapon and all that type of stuff. If I need to how I'm gonna save myself if I ain't prepared for somebody to come into my house, so I don't have the opportunity to go back inside of my house and defend myself and get a gun to defend myself? That sounds crazy anyway. But that's why I really believe in the tactic of anytime you leave your house, you need to have your weapon. Because at this point, and I'm not talking about for us on us, I'm just talking about in general, because you got people killing people for pulling in their driveways on accident because they turning their car around. Ever since I seen that, I've been terrified of backing into my driveway because I'm good for it. If I'm trying to hurry up and turn around instead of going to the end of the street and turn around, I'm going to back into somebody's driveway. Baby, I ain't did it since that man shot that girl. I ain't did it since. I'm not pulling in nobody's driveway. Y'all are nuts. Y'all done turned into maniacs with these guns. Just want to pop off. Everybody's scared. Everybody, as I said, everybody scary these days. They don't want to fight. They don't want to defend themselves with integrity. They run to a weapon first. So now, because there's so many people out here that's running to a weapon first, everybody got to carry your weapon, because now all y'all crazy. But Travis Rudolph was at his mama house. A married woman that he was seeing, he put himself in that situation. Yes, he did. A married woman that he was seeing got upset that somebody else takes his phone. She married. She is married. Didn't they say she was married? She was married. And she got upset. She came at him trying to fight him. She did all this. She did all that. She calls her brother. She tells her brother that he done jumped on her and did this and did that. And now he want to come and told him he threw her, slammed her down. Now he got to come over there and defend his sister. And he done went and got a couple friends. And then they pull up or whatever. You can see it on the video. They outside. They ready. And now somebody dead. And it ain't Travis Rudolph. Who house y'all came to? Had every right to defend himself because of foolishness. Women, and most of these men that be defending stupid ass women, they be knowing they defending stupid ass women. So, but they still made the decision to go ahead and defend them anyway. And now y'all done walked. One of them walked into his desk. Somebody else walked in and walked away with injuries. But that woman sat on that stage, y'all. And he was found not guilty on all accounts. The jury returned a verdict of not guilty on all accounts about 2:15 p.m. today. But so the 12-person jury had the option to convict him of lesser offenses, including second-degree murder and manslaughter, but they rejected those. They rejected all of those. But I feel like he faced one count of first-degree murder and three counts of attempted murder for the fatal shooting outside his Lake Park home 2 years ago. The 12-person jury had the option of doing this or doing that. Now, what they chose to do was because they felt like he was just going to be found guilty on all counts. They didn't even accept the fact that he could have been convicted of lesser charges, lesser offenses, including up to second-degree murder and manslaughter. They only wanted to get this man. They felt so confident that this jury was going to come back and hang this man that they ain't even accept no other thing. So he walked away. The closing arguments, the defense attorney was very insulting during the closing arguments, you know, of course, you know, they have to be insulting because they're trying to they're trying to make it look as if they, you know, they got to do that for their client. They got to stand there. They got to stand and they stand their ground for their client as the attorney. If you're an attorney, it's your job to make everything about your client way more dispelling than the other person that they're against. You cannot, it don't matter if it's a million lies being told, you cannot stand up there and let your client walk, go down. Cause you suck as an attorney. Oh, they definitely big haters. So, Rudolph left the courthouse smiling Wednesday, stopping to pose for a selfie with a supporter. A passing driver honked and screamed his name from an open car window. Now, the reason why I support the fact that the man got to walk away, because again, that was at his property. They brought the problem there. They knew, he knew that his sister was a goddamn troublemaker. And they bought the problem there. It's simple as that. Like, you're not finna come to my house, shoot up my house, my mama in here, everybody, my family in here, and you coming in here in your feelings. And now all of a sudden, I'm not supposed to defend my family? Because I'm wrong now because I got to run back in the house and get my gun. So they ended up having to play different video surveillance. I mean, video evidence. They end up talking about different outcomes that could have happened. They ended up saying things that this should be this. But in all of that went down, y'all. Now, one time did that woman who started all that BS come out and apologize about that man being murdered. She had no sympathy in her heart about that. And that bothered my spirit so bad. So bad. So next we're going to talk about some historical Black men, most influential Black athletes of all time. Now, I don't need nobody hating on this list because I got this list off of a Black site. And I'm not even going to share it with y'all only because I don't need y'all hating. So, but I agree with the fact that they chose these five. That they may not be the best. I mean, like just the top five. It may be like a top 10 number that could have been done. It could have been added to the list. But they did the top five most influential Black athletes of all time. And I like the list. I like the list. So I want to share the list with y'all. Let's see. I'm typing up everybody that's on Instagram. My notes and everything don't come over here for y'all, so I do apologize. But you know, you can get over here to my YouTube. I just got y'all on here today because I want to let y'all know that y'all can get over here on that YouTube and chat and it'd be more into the conversation. But the most influential Black athletes, the first one that they got on here is Mr. Doug Williams, born August 9th, 1955, inside, when was he born again? Zachary, Louisiana. He played football. His career was 11 years from 1978 to 1989. Anybody remember Mr. Doug Williams? Don't everybody jump up at once, but and if you do remember Mr. Doug Williams, tell me about him in the comments, something that made him an influential person in sports, in your opinion. So I'm going to tell you let me tell you about some of his career highlights. He was a Super Bowl champion in 1988, Super Bowl MVP in 1988, NFL All-Rookie Team in 1978, two-time Black College Player of the Year in 1976 and 1977. And then a three-time SWAC champion from 1975 to 1977 with the Black College, and he was also in the Black College Football Hall of Fame. Mr. Doug Williams, if you know Mr. Doug Williams, again, I want you to tell me what you know about Mr. Doug Williams that made him a relevant person to you. Bottom line, Doug Williams is best known for his short stint with the Washington Redskins at the end of his career. In 1988, he led the franchise to a Super Bowl win and was named Super Bowl MVP, becoming the first Black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. So, like, if you into the American League and into the American sports, you will know that Mr. Doug Williams was the first Black man to ever win a Super Bowl. The first Black. That's big in American sports now, so, It was a watershed moment in NFL history, but this wasn't the first time Williams was a pioneer. He also was the first Black quarterback drafted in the first round of the NFL draft and turned around a moribund franchise in Tampa Bay, leading the Buccaneers to 3 playoff appearances in his first 5 NFL seasons. This man was a beast. Then he had a contract dispute with the Buccaneers owner, Hugh Culverhouse, did not play football in 1983 and bounced to the upstart USFL for 2 seasons. He returned to the NFL in 1986 and became an NFL executive after his playing days, mentoring many Black quarterbacks. Mr. Doug Williams, one of the best to ever do it. And that's because he is one of the first the first Black man, Black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. The first. Y'all knew that? I didn't know that. What y'all think? Because I didn't know that then. I promise you, that's real good. That's good. That's good to us if in the people, you know, to us colonizers over here. That's funny that I said that. our next most influential Black athlete. Let me see. I had to make sure I put that up there. He was the first Black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. That's Mr. Doug Williams. Y'all don't sleep. Do your research. Find out about who I'm talking about today so you can be in these conversations whenever you talk about the greats, because a lot of y'all don't be knowing the greats. Y'all just be talking about the greats. All right. The next great, most influential athlete that is Black. Is Mr. Bo Jackson. Mr. Bo Jackson. Y'all know Mr. Bo Jackson. I don't have to ask y'all about if y'all know him or not, because Mr. Bo Jackson is a well-known player. He was born November 3rd in 1962 in Bessemer, Alabama. He played 7 years, 1986 to 91, and then 1993 to 1994. He played football and baseball. His career highlights were in Major League Baseball All-Star in 1989, Major League Baseball All-Star Game MVP in 1989. He was a Heisman Trophy winner in 1985 and a Pro Bowl winner in 1990, Mr. Bo Jackson. Bottom line, the promise of Bo Jackson's career and all the amazing things we thought he might do in the NFL and Major League Baseball came to a screeching halt with a catastrophic hip injury in 1991. Before that, sports fans were able to witness something that really hasn't come along since, a true superstar and 2 professional American jobs. With Jackson earning Major League Baseball All-Star Game MVP honors in 1989 and earning a spot in the Pro Bowl in 1990. Bo Jackson was dope as hell, though, if y'all remember. He was one of those people that, one of the first that was able to, that ever did the two-sport thing. There was no bigger star in professional sports during the late 1980s in early 1990s. Say Bo Knowles to any sports fan over 40 years old and you'll get the picture. Bo Knowles. All right. Our next man of the hour is Mr. Ernie Davis. Mr. Ernie Davis was born on December 14th, 1989 in Salem, Pennsylvania. Salem. Mr. Ernie Davis. Anybody know who Mr. Ernie Davis is? All right. So Mr. Ernie Davis was a football player as well, and his career was for only 4 years long, but it was from 1959 to 1962. Oh, I ain't put his name on the screen. My bad, Mr. Ernie Davis. His career highlights was he was a national champion in 1959, he won national champion. Heisman Trophy winner in 1961, two-time NCAA All-American in 1960 and 1961, and a college from, he also was college Football Hall of Fame. Bottom line was Mr. Ernie Davis was a three-sport star in football, basketball, and baseball, and a high school All-American at Elmira, New York Free Academy before he was personally recruited by his hero, Syracuse running back Jim Brown, to come play for the Orange. So they came and got your boy. I didn't know they. I heard about Mr. Ernie Davis, but I didn't know how his story went. Davis became a legend and an inspiration at Syracuse as the first Black athlete to win the Heisman Trophy in 1961. He was the number one overall pick by the Washington Redskins in 1962 NFL Draft. Davis took a stand, refusing to play for racist ownership, and was immediately traded to the Cleveland Browns. Okay, Davis. Tragically, Davis never played a game in the NFL. He was diagnosed with leukemia and died in 1963 at 23 years old. Wow. Very, very short-lived life and career, Mr. Ernie Davis. Now, the next person that comes up is somebody that anybody over 40 know, but if you're a basketball lover, you know about this man, period. And that's Mr. Allen Iverson. Born June 7, 1975 in Hampton, Virginia. Everybody loves some Allen Iverson. He was a phenomenal basketball player. He did his thing. When we saw him shake Jordan, we knew Allen wasn't nothing to play with. It was like, what? AI did his thing. He played, his career was 14 years. It was from 1996 to 2010. NBA MVP in 2001. 11-time NBA All-Star, 2002-2010. Two-time NBA All-Star Game MVP in 2001 and 2005. Seven-time All-Star NBA game, NBA team from 1999 and 2003 and in 2005. And NBA Rookie of the Year. So in 1997. Influence is a crazy thing. Sometimes just being yourself can create it, which is the case of former NBA star Allen Iverson. The number one overall pick in the 1996 NBA Draft led the 76ers to the NBA Finals in 2001 and was named NBA's most valuable player. The answer stood just 6 foot and played with reckless abandon for someone his size, making him one of the most popular players in the NBA history and one of pop culture's all-time greatest anti-heroes. Maybe we loved us some AI. Iverson did it on both ends, on the floor as well. He led the NBA in scoring 4 times and led the NBA in steals 3 times. His influence was the measure for a whole generation of NBA players who followed him. Not, like, you would think AI was everybody else height on the court. How he, like, ran up on people, shook people. Like, he had no fear for anything that he was doing. He was dynamic, very strategic. has something to prove in every game. Has something to prove in every game. So he really, he was the measure for a whole generation of NBA players who followed him. He definitely did his thing. He stood out. AI. Our next, I think this is our last. Yeah. This is our last person. And that is Mr. Mike Tyson. Is our fifth most influential, most influential athlete of all time is Mr. Mike Tyson, born June 30th, 1966 in Brooklyn, New York. He never went to college. He didn't have to do all that. His career was 20 years long. 20 years, y'all. Mike was out there beating ass for 20 years. Golly, Mike. That's crazy, ain't it? Every time I read up on Mike and study Mike, I love Mike. Mike is dope. Undisputed world heavyweight champion from 1987 to 1990. Few athletes in the last 50 years have captured the public's imagination like Iron Mike Tyson. Tyson won his first 19 professional fights by knockout and became the youngest heavyweight champion of all time when he won the title by defeating Trevor Burbick in 1986 at just a shade past his 20th birthday. That's when he became the heavyweight champion of all time, right before he turned 20. Tyson's legacy Tyson's legacy came undone after he lost the heavyweight title to 42-1 underdog Buster Douglas. Y'all remember that fight? Tyson was convicted of rape. Oh, they want to throw all this in. We talking about sports. Of rape in 1992 and spent 3 years of 6-year sentence in prison before he returned to win the heavyweight title in 1996. Tyson did his thing, y'all. He was a beast. He was a beast in that ring. He didn't play no games. He wasn't soft with anybody. He was very, very, wasn't gentle. He was quick, though. Like, he may let you get no hit in. The only way you're going to get, you got to work for it. You got to work for it. It's a lot of people now be like, oh, let's make the fight interesting. No. No. I'm here to knock you out. And that was Tyson's thing. I'm coming to knock you out. You come at me, I'm knocking you out. Simple as that. That's what we're here to do. And he was very serious. He had very good techniques. He was very skilled. He was a very young, unique boxer when he first came out on the scene. Had been through a very, very, very tragic upbringing. Losing his mom, never really knowing his dad like that. And I think he knew his dad. I think his dad died before his mom, if I'm not mistaken. But a very, very tragic upbringing of losing people. And then people taking him under their wing, even though that, you know, because he was very trustful. He gave people a lot of trust. He really did. And that ended up costing him a lot in the end. So we have five great Black athletes that took their time to learn their journeys, get to know where they wanted to go in this this aspect of their lives and doing the things they needed to do to get there. And if you do something this really dope and you become legendary and known as one of the greatest, you have definitely stood the chance, tell of time and how you've been handling things. There's nothing that nobody can't take away from you. Man, that's dope. So kudos, congrats to all of our greatest athletes of all time, the top five, and to the ones that are still here with us, you know, may y'all have continued health, good health in y'all lives. For the ones that are passed on, may your families have continued health for their lives. So that's our show for today, y'all. But before I get out of here, I wanted to go back to Malcolm's message earlier that I put up for the quotes and read that to y'all again. You can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. I put a message on YouTube today to let people know it's time to unlock your minds and stop allowing yourself to be so caged in to the things you don't think you deserve, especially if you're out here working for the things you deserve. It's time to stop allowing yourself to be your demise. So if you want to have that continued freedom and that sense of peace, you have to understand how to get it in the beginning. And that comes from sheltering yourself away from different things so that you can have that peace. It's really important, y'all. Between the food, the jobs, you know, life, you got some things that are out here working hard to take you out. You have to have a good solid foundation in your mind to make sure that you are at peace with who you are. You got to, y'all. I promise you. It's a very good feeling to be that person. It's a very good feeling to be in control of how you feel. The feelings can continue to grow and be something that makes you feel as if anything is possible. But you have to get to a sense of peace so that you can have an established bounty on your own life. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. I always appreciate y'all. It's very, very important to always know that you got people out here supporting you and rooting you on, y'all. So thank y'all so much. I went IG Live today to put up, give the opportunity for some people on IG Live to join the conversation as well. And they did. So thank y'all for tuning in on IG Live. Appreciate y'all as well. But we'll catch y'all next week, next Wednesday. We'll be back. And y'all make sure that y'all tune in, okay? I appreciate y'all. Around the world, Black. Peace.